Thank you, Susan. Praise the Lord. That's a great song, isn't it? I don't know why people always want to... We got some great songs. You can sing good songs that are old and they have meaning. And personally, I like the blood songs the best. The devil stays totally away from the blood songs. And you want to get him running. Start singing, There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And he doesn't like that for sure. Well, take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Proverbs 26. Stand with me if you can. If you can, I understand. But Proverbs chapter 26. The first part of this chapter we looked at several weeks ago. And anyhow, I do preach on Wednesday nights sometimes. And when we do, we're in the book of Proverbs. And several weeks ago when we were in the first part of this chapter, we had some great instructions about what is called a fool, or someone that is a fool, someone that is foolish. And so you might realize that this chapter is probably a great warning on different aspects. So this chapter would be more in the negative than it would be in the positive. And we have often heard around here that when there used to be more negative preaching, there happened to be more positive living. And so sometimes we learn by the negative. And so this is a negative message, a warning, and it's about the foolish. And then the last part of the chapter is about the tongue, the one that wags his tongue way too much and is a talebearer. But in the middle here, in verses 13 through 16, we're going to read, is probably one subject that pushes my buttons personally more than anything, and that's somebody that's just downright lazy. That drives me crazy. We live in America. But even if we didn't live in America, we shouldn't be lazy. But because we live in America, it tends in many occasions to cause people to be sluggards, or to be lazy, or to be slothful. And personally, I don't think there's any excuse for that unless you have some type of disability, and I understand that. But I'm talking, even that, you don't have to be lazy. All right? So notice what the Bible says here, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way." A lion is in the streets. Did everybody get that? That's kind of what we might call sarcasm, hyperbole, or just a reason with no, an excuse, but really no reason. There's a reason for everything, but there's no excuse. And that's what it says. So the slothful man makes excuses. Verse 14, "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed." He can't get out of bed. All right? He makes excuses. He can't get out of bed. He has no discipline. When you get out of bed, you need to get out of bed. And you need to get out of bed. I'm telling you, people have trouble with that. And they're slothful. Verse 15. "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." That's called lazy. "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." All right, let's stop reading there because that's about an hour worth of preaching right there. Father, we love you. We thank you for the ant that gives us a positive against the negative of a sluggard in Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm reminded that the Bible says, look to the ant, how industrious he is, and how he does not make excuse, but he gathers his meat for the winter. And on July 4th picnic, he's getting ready for what's ahead. And so I pray, Lord, that we might be more like the ant than we would be the sluggard. And so, Father, I pray tonight that we would just be challenged, that we would not be lazy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, the way I would like to say this, I thought this was a great thought, and so whenever I have something thoughtful to say, I write it down. And here's how I put it. If work was a disease, the slothful would never get sick. All right? That makes sense to me. The slothful shows up, or the sluggard, in many chapters in the book of Proverbs, many of them. And every time that the Bible in the book of Proverbs speaks about the sluggard or the slothful, or the word that we would use today would be lazy. I think that's just because the Bible is definitely, if you look up the word lazy, you're going to read verses 13, 14, and 15. You're going to get some kind of characteristic of that. And every time we see in the Word of God, especially in the book of Proverbs, the word slothful or sluggard, it's never in the positive. It's always in a disgusting or a wrong attitude, a wrong way. And I'm just telling you, there's just not any room for laziness. And I'm telling you right now, a sluggard, a sleeper, a slothful man. Here is the remedy for the slothful and the sluggard and the sleeper who says a little folding of the hands and this. Listen, there is a remedy for laziness, and it is called work. That's the remedy. Now, I guess at this point is when I pull out the Tennessee card and start talking about my dad and how he never would let us be lazy. I mean, my dad didn't let us sleep till 10 or 11 o'clock, like some parents allow their children to do. I'm telling you, you're not doing your children any favors letting them sleep till 10 o'clock or whatever it is. Let them get up. If you're tired, go to bed early. But get up, and you don't have to get up as early as Buck's throat now. I'm not saying that. But I am saying you need to get up. And when you do get up, go to work. Slop the hogs. Or whatever thing you need to do. That's what I did when I was growing up. That very early on, I found out you don't go to school unless you had some chores that were done. There had to be some work done before you ever went to school. So you couldn't sleep right up till time to get up and go to school. So I think of molasses oozing out of a bottle when it's cold. That's lazy. I mean, it takes a long time for the molasses to get out of the bottle when it's cold. And that's exactly a picture that I get in my mind of a lazy person. And the reason that I say that is the word sluggard actually means slow and hesitant. What does that mean? That means one that cannot be forthright. They're not active. They're not decisive. Their motto is, don't rush me, I'm thinking about it. Listen, make a decision and do it. Get up out of the bed and go. He is lazy, constantly making the soft choice, losing opportunity after another, day by day, moment by moment, until he has found himself laying on the bed, wasting his life away. If you're able-bodied, there's no reason for welfare. If you're able-bodied, there is no reason for that. And listen, if we're not careful, listen, and we might even want to admit it, that it is possible there lies within us a sluggard if we're not careful. Now here's what I say. Because if you ever notice that those are the busiest always add more onto them, to where I've come to this conclusion that the world is actually run by tired people. All right? Now let me give you some things about the slothful. First of all, the slothful always make excuse. Now, ministry rule number 19 is this, and I have 25. But ministry, and it's pretty bad when I'm getting to the place where I actually know the numbers. But ministry rule number 19, it's right there, number 19. I wanted to make sure it was right, so I went and looked it up. It is number 19. Ministry rule number 19 is this: there is a reason for everything, But it does not mean there is an excuse for it. People have, there's a reason that people do things that they do. But I will say to you, there's still no excuse for a lot of the things that they do. There may be a reason why people feel like they need to be lazy, but I will say to you, there's no excuse for being lazy. Now, this is not even in my notes, but my wife is a perfect example. Now, listen, over the years in my own life, God has placed within me surgeries or times of my life where I actually couldn't get up and do anything because of a surgery that took place, and it was terrible. It drove me crazy. And then when it drove me crazy, I drive my wife crazy. When I had surgery back in 2007 and I was pretty much limited, I could not walk, I couldn't put my leg on the ground for 6 weeks. 3 weeks after it, my wife said, "I'm leaving." I said, "You're not going to leave me, are you?" She said, "No, but I'm leaving you for a couple of days. Because I've had about all I can take." And she left and drove to Dallas, Texas, and left me under the care of Dave McCracken. And the reason is I can't stand to be still like that. And here's what I was going to say. She had foot surgery 4 weeks ago, and literally you almost have to put a ball and a chain and tie her to so that she won't go out. Why? Because she, of all people I know, my wife is not lazy. She goes from daylight to dark. She convicts me that, I'm lazier than her, but I'm not lazy. But I'm telling you, the slothful man makes excuses. Here's what the slothful man says. There is a lion in the street. Do you realize that's like saying, "I can't go to church because I have milk in the refrigerator"? I'm being very honest. Now, that's one of my favorite sayings is this. Well, there's milk in the refrigerator, and people will say, "Well, what does that have to do with anything?" It doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's just as good an excuse as any other. I am reminded in Luke chapter 14 of the parable when Jesus Christ is giving the parable of those that needed to come to the supper, and they begin to make excuse, and they begin to say things like, "I've bought a piece of land," or "I've done this," and then the greatest of all is, "I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Those are excuses. They don't mean anything. The same argument that we find here in chapter verse number 13 is also found in Proverbs 22:13. And here's the idea, that the sloth or the lazy person will actually invent arguments that are so preposterous that they can get out of work. They'll use any excuse they can to excuse themselves for work. They may say, "Oh, my back. Oh, my head. Oh, I can't pick up more than 3 pounds. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, none of these excuses hold water, but it does not stop them from using them. I read this somewhere also that almost is like there's a reason for everything but no excuse. An excuse is often a lie wrapped in a reason. And a slothful person is one who has a lot of reasons. They have a lot of excuses. If a lazy man doesn't want to go to work, he just calls in sick. Do you know what my motto was about that? Don't call in sick, crawl in sick. Or he says things like this, "I can't get my car started." That's funny. And here is the most amazing thing about it, is the people of Hezekiah's day, remember written out of Hezekiah, copied out of Hezekiah's day, and I believe that the generation of Hezekiah probably laughed and smiled at this proverb just like we are tonight. There's a lion in the street. Yeah, I can't go outside and work. I can't go outside and mow the grass, Dad. I can imagine me telling my dad this. "Hey, Dad, I can't go out and work in the garden. There's a lion out there." And Or I could have said, there's a mountain lion out there. There's no mountain lion out there. And the humor is increased by the fact that lazy people actually convince themselves that other people believe their lies or their excuses. That's what the most amazing thing is that, listen, now listen, if you're lazy and you make these excuses, people ain't going to believe it. I'm not. Because I'll say stuff like, well, whatever. So if I ever say that, then you know that I'm on to you. Lazy people just make excuses. So I'm allergic to grass. Then put a mask over your face when you're mowing the grass. Amen? Now look at verse number 14, because here's how I call this one this. This is how the lazy person exercises. All right? Here's his exercise. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so that the slothful upon his bed. That's the only exercise you're ever going to get out of a slothful man. You know what that means? That means the sluggard loves his bed. And he turns back and forth like a door upon a hinge. And that's about the extent of any exercise that he ever gets. And here's the thing about it, yet they're always tired. Oh, I'm so tired. What have you done? You're so tired. It's always amazing to me, teenagers. Oh, I'm so tired. Have you ever noticed, again, I circled it. Have you ever noticed that the world is actually run by tired people? I hate to say this, but the idle person is often out of shape because they're moving like a door hinge in their bed. Their lack of discipline, and here's amazing to me, is many times the lack of discipline that people have is actually a badge of honor and an object of humor to joke about. Okay, whatever. So, they exercise in their bed. Look at the extent. Look at verse number 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Now, in look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24. It's very similar here. Chapter 19, 24, it says this. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I remember when I was at a place where the guy was sitting on the front porch, and the missionary that I was with said, "Did you notice the guy pointed?" I said, "No, I never saw him move." He said he used his lip. He went like this. I said, "You got to be kidding me." He goes, "No, that's how lazy he is. He doesn't even bring his hand up to say, 'Go over there.'" He goes, he points with his lip. Now you can't make this stuff up about the slothful. Here's the idea. He is so lazy, according to these two verses that we read, he is so lazy he can't feed himself. He can't make the effort. Now listen. Sometimes this is exercise too that a lot of times anybody ever gets. In principle, this depicts really much of our welfare society, which wants someone else to do their work for them. Don't go to college and get out of college and think you can't sweep a floor, or you can't dust a house, or you can't do something like that. There are people that the extent of their slothfulness is so great that they want everybody else to do their work for them. And what aggravates me is the government caters to this kind of attitude. It doesn't mean they don't eat. It just means that they see work as so grievous when it comes to making provision. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that if you don't work, then you shouldn't eat. And so everybody's looking for a handout. The sluggard is. Here's another thing about the sluggard. He never finishes anything. on a rare occasion when he finds the motivation to get going, it's too much for him and the impulse dies and he never finishes it. You know that? Listen, you need to learn to finish whatever it is you start. If you start reading a book, finish the book. If you start doing a job, finish the job. Whatever that job is, whatever that book is. And so many people, listen, I'm telling you right now, that is a flaw. If you can't finish something that you've started, that is a picture of a sluggard. He doesn't stick with the task all the way through to the finish. And you know what that is? That's shallow, is what that is. Look at verse number 16. Here's another amazing thing. That the sluggard, in his own mind, is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. I'm afraid that one of the great characteristics of a lazy person is arrogance. You can't tell them anything because they already know everything. And even if seven men can give a reason for their opinion, the sluggard believes his opinion is better than theirs. I didn't say that. God did. But I've seen that lived out in life. In addition to everything else, the lazy man thinks he has all of life's answers and he's got it all figured out. And the summit or the apex of his life is to actually reach a state when he doesn't have to do any kind of work at all. I know people like this. They come to my mind right now. And I'm trying to get them out. Not anybody in here, all right? But I'm just saying, I know people that their goal in life, and their goal in life is to get to the place where they don't have to work. And they never worked in the first place. That was the problem. You know, if you go to work and you have a job, have you ever worked with those people that they don't do any work and they do as little work as possible and then when the boss comes out, they jump up and act like they're working? That's arrogance. That's conceit. You should be working whether anybody is watching you at all because God Almighty is watching you. And you need to learn to, as a kid, to get up, make your bed, and clean up your room, and don't live like a pig. That's lazy. And there's too many parents teaching their children at the age of 2 years old how to be lazy, so when they get to be a teenager and they sleep till 10 or 11 o'clock and they don't clean up their room and act like a pig, they just go, oh, I guess it's just they're a teenager. Might be because you taught them how to be a sluggard. And it could be that you're a sluggard too because your house looks like whatever. The sluggard thinks the happiest life is eat, drink, and be merry. And he's so consumed with himself that he believes and acts like he's smarter than everybody else. And I found out this, work will accomplish a lot of stuff. Now, I hate to break the news to you, but I ain't retiring. I have no intention. I'm being honest. That doesn't mean I'm going to pastor for the rest of my life, but I just can't imagine myself not working, not preaching, not doing something, not being occupied. And if God allows you, you should be able to do what you like later on in life, but that doesn't mean sitting in a chair and doing nothing. No. Listen, I don't... Lazy just don't cut it. My dad is 82 years old. Every here I go back to my... I was in the Tennessee mode last week. I'm telling you, you can slide right in. My dad is 82 years old. And has got one of the biggest gardens that I've ever seen in my life. And he's got goats. Now he's taking care of my uncle's pigs. And he's got chickens. And he's 82 years old. Now, here's what you'll never hear me say. Dad, you need to slow down. You know why? Because he's working and he enjoys working. Besides, if he's out there in that garden and they're still canning beans and green beans and corn. Did I tell you that he's 82 years old? Brother Boonstra is 90 years old and would work most people into the ground. 90. That gives me hope. study the ways of a sluggard, and then don't be like them. Because that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible just said, this is what a sluggard. And you know what? The implication here is this. Don't be a sluggard. Rather, model yourself after the diligent and after the dependable. And I begin to think about this. Hey, what about the ant? Look at Proverbs chapter number 6. And let's be reminded of probably what we've already looked at. But look at Proverbs chapter number 6. And look what the Bible says about this little ant. He's about this big and can carry sugar on his back. Look at what it says in verse. Go to the ant. Who should go to the ant? Look at this. Thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now look at verse number 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now before I get to the ant, let me say some things about the diligent and about the person who is dependable. A dependable person who will work even when somebody's not watching them. A dependable man will work in spite of adverse circumstances. Unlike the lazy, the diligent doesn't allow the slightest obstacle to keep them reporting from duty. They crawl in sick. Now, let me clarify that. Don't come in throwing up or something like that. But some people use any excuse, well, I got a hangnail, or I got a headache. Okay, we'll take some Tylenol. You know what I'm saying? I got a headache. Okay, well, blow your nose. Try that. I've just never, unless it's a migraine, a headache, I don't think should be an excuse. But anyhow, here's what a diligent person and a dependable person does. They don't invent stories to excuse themselves from work. I'll be honest with you, there's been times like this is a good time to take a sick day. Then I go, no, it's not a good time. They rise early in order to accomplish something. Now, this is my personal opinion, okay? So this is not in the Bible or anything. But I don't do good reading the Bible in the afternoon. And the reason I say that is because I've had mothers attack me, go, well, you don't know what it's like to raise kids. And I don't. I don't in that sense. And I know babies cry all night and all that kind of stuff. And I know there's a season in your life that you're just, praise God, to make them get down, and or you hide them, or you lock them in the closet, or duct tape them to the bathroom, or whatever it is, so you can get 15 minutes of alone time, and you can go read your Bible, and you might have to do that in the afternoon. That's okay. But I'm saying, let me say this to the men that don't have to stay up with babies all night. You ought to get up early in the morning and read your Bible. You ought to get up early in the morning and spend time with the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, a dependable person will report for duty, and they will rise early in order to accomplish much. And in other words, they're not fastened to their bed. Now, let me just tell you something. I like that bed sometimes. And when that alarm clock goes off, sometimes I want to pick it up and throw it across the room. But I don't. I say, okay, it's time to get up. And so I get up, and I get up. Someone put it like this, get up when you wake up, and wake up when you get up. And then labor to provide. Listen, when we talk about labor, we're not just talking about the body. What about laboring for the soul? The classic commentator, Matthew Henry. Sure, most people have heard of Matthew Henry. Here's what Henry says about verse number 15. He says, those that are slothful in the business of religion, so we'll say religious matters or spiritual matters, will not be at the pains to feed their own souls with the Word of God, the bread of life, nor to fetch in promised blessings by prayer, though they might have them for the fetching. Now, I can't say stuff like that. But basically what Matthew Henry said is get up, feed the soul, spend time with God, and don't be lazy about it. One of the things I think is good that we give out a Bible calendar is if anything, it'll help you to stay disciplined in reading your Bible. Because you'll find out very quickly that if you get a day or two behind, it sometimes it's hard to catch up. And I've been there. I've been there, and me and my wife keep each other accountable. I say, where are you at? I'll say, well, I'm a day behind. And she's like 5 days behind or 6 days behind because she's been on all this medication. So you better get caught up, woman. Because December's coming. Anyhow. You guys are out of sync tonight, aren't you? You know, we should be proud, and I don't mean proud in the wrong way, I mean proud in the right way. We should be proud that we work and that we accomplish something. Lazy people consider themselves smarter than others because of their ability to avoid work. I think we should be proud of the fact that we actually accomplish work. Now, I don't know about you, but this is me. I have an app on my phone for everything. And I use an application called Things. And every time that I think of something, oh yeah, I gotta do this, I put it in there. Because now I'm to the age where if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. So I write it all down. Now used to, back in the old days, I was a list person. Man, I had lists everywhere. And I'd look at that list and say, okay, what's the most important? What is that? It's called work. Okay, I accomplished that. And now I can go, okay, I got 10 things on my list today, and I only got 8 accomplished, but I got 8 accomplished. So I got 2 more to go, so I'll edit it and move it to tomorrow. And then before you know it, I'm laying in bed at night going, oh, I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got this, got to get this, and that's not even counting. I got to get ready for preaching, and I got to get ready for Sunday school. I got to get ready for this. I got to get ready for that. And I got to yell at David and Daniel for something. So I write that down. That's, you know, that might be on the top of the list. You know, here's what I'm saying. We need to be able to give an honest day's work. And listen, if you go to work for an employer and you don't put in what you're supposed to, I'm going to tell you right now, you're stealing. You should always give your best effort. Here's an idea. When one task is complete, seek another. Wow, that's a concept. And if you need to, write it down. Make a list. Put it on your thing. And there's been times when I'm like, okay, I know I got to get this done, and I'll immediately. And so after about mid-morning, I open it up and I go, oh, praise God, I did that one, I did that one, and I did that one. Oh, I got to do that one. Oh. Okay, I got to go at it. Pastoring is like farming. And what I mean by that, it's never completely done. You just have to cut it off like a piece of bologna and go home and then come back and the bologna's still there. You know what I'm saying? But I tell you, I'm telling you, I used to work with guys that would boast about not working while they're on the job. I remember when I worked for FedEx, I'd go to some plants. And I would, and when I was on a time schedule, you got to have everything delivered by 10:30, and then you got. You had 10:30, 12 o'clock, then you had 4 o'clock. So you had all these deadlines. All right, these packages have to be delivered, and that was the real pressure one. Was the 10:30 one? That's the one that really got the adrenaline flowing. So you got 5 stops left, and it's 9:55, and you know you're several miles, and so you roll into some factory there, and you hop up to get up the steps, go in and say, hey, how's it going? I was trying to be nice as I could. Got a package for you. And a guy looked at me and said, that's not my job. And so I got to the place. I said, what is your job? Well, that ain't that. Well, whose job is it? And sometimes you'd have to find 5 people before. It's not like it's rocket science. It's just a signature. You know what I'm saying? It's the idea that I brought the package and left it on time. Oh, it's not my job. Yeah, and I'm thinking, I'd like to write your name down because you'd never go to work for me. You know what the best? Here's the kind of guy I would hire is when you walk into somewhere, and you say, And they say, what would you like to drink? And I say, Coke. And they go, how's Pepsi? I don't like Pepsi. So I don't order Pepsi. I mean, it's got to be like I need a caffeine fix to drink Pepsi. So I said, no, I want Coke. Well, we don't have Coke. Okay, well, give me iced tea. But here's the kind of guy I'd hire. He goes across the street and he buys a Coke and he brings it back. He just got a 40% tip. You think I'm joking? I'm not kidding. That's somebody that knows how to work. Instead of making an excuse, what do you mean you don't have Coke? Who doesn't have Coke? Just saying. For even when we were with you, thus we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. This is Paul preaching to the church at Thessalonica. He said, you know, when I was there, I told you not to be lazy. In fact, here's what I said. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And then he says this, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what should the sluggard do? Go to the ant. Now think about that. How humiliating is it for somebody that's arrogant and thinks they know everything to be told to go to the ant and learn from them? But I'm telling you, them little boogers, they are amazing. You can't kill them. If you try to just clean them up or suck them up in a vacuum cleaner, the next day they got replacements. And I know that they want us to call the bug factory and come and kill them. I just love the ant. I think they're awesome. You know why? Because they're workers. And here's what God says. Go watch the ant. Now, here's what I believe. I believe a church like Berean Baptist Church should be filled with men who work, who are engaged, who are intense, who have conviction, who go into action, because that's what the world needs. Because we got a lot of lazy people in the world today. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to humble ourselves and admit our need and accept God's pure, simple remedy. It is so humbling that we, whom God created to rule over the creation, need to learn from an ant. And here's what they say. Here's the first thing about an ant. Do you realize an ant has inner motivation? They have inner motivation. Nobody has to tell them what to do. What does the Bible say? They don't have an overseer. They don't have a boss. They don't have anybody tell them what to do. They wake up at ant time and they go to work. And brother, if you ever have a picnic, they'll carry your bread away. They'll carry your mustard away. They'll carry your Fritos away and then come back for the ding-dong later on. And you're just watching like, look at that. God said, if you have any tendencies of being lazy, go to the ant. The ant has inner motivation. It should not be that we have to be motivated by telling somebody what to do and what looking over them. And are you doing your job? And are you taking care of it? And did you do what I told you to ask you to do 2 weeks ago? And such as this. No. How about some inner motivation to do what you're supposed to do because it's the right thing to do because that's what the ant does. They don't have any chief officers. There's no boss standing over them with a whip telling them what to do. They don't report to anybody. No one has ever seen a foot dragging ant. There's that ant dragging his feet. Oh, little ant, Jesse the ant, she's always behind. No. If you watch them, one's right behind the other. And they go, hey, George, I'm right behind you, man. Yeah, you with it? Yeah, I see you got the Frito. Yeah, I got the ding-dong. We're on our way, baby. Winter's coming, but we're going to be good. You know what the second thing is? Not only do they have inner motivation, they have a work concept. What we used to be called, oh, they're a hard worker. Think about this. On July the 4th, you're having a picnic. One of the hottest days of the year. And they're scurrying about getting the job done. You know, we're supposed to be relaxing. Not the ant. I don't know if ants sweat, but if they do, they don't care about it. I'd have to Google that, I guess. They don't complain. They don't wait. They just work. And then the last thing is this. They prepare for the future. Did you notice that the sluggard in chapter 6 here, in verse number 11, chapter 6, after it talks about the ant, that when it talks about the sluggard who has the sleep and the slumber and the folding of the hands, poverty will come upon them. As one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man. Winter's coming. Let me tell you something. And don't take this wrong, and I'm saying it in love. I really am when I say this, but I don't know any other way to say it. There's going to come a day when we all get to be 80. But when you're like 30, you're like, oh, I'll never get to 80. Then when you get to 80, you're like, man, how'd that come up on me that fast? Am I right? You ask anybody that's in their 70s or 80s. And here's the thing about being in your 70s or 80s. It's like Brother Wally Williams told me. He's 90, but he's sitting across and he's got his cane and his leg don't work real well. He goes, but I don't feel 90. Now, my body acts like it's 90, but in my mind, I don't feel like I'm 90. In which I go, amen, praise God, that's what I'm doing. But the truth is, we're going to get there. And what I'm saying is when we get to be 70, 80, 90, that's like winter. You know, we start off in spring, and one day we're going to get to winter. And you can't dig a garden in the winter. You have to make the garden in the spring. And in the summer, and you harvest it in the fall so you can live in the winter. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I think you get the picture. It's just that people don't ever realize, hey, I need to gather food for the harvest. The ant works today, not for today, but for tomorrow. She gets out ahead of the next season of her life. There's a winter coming. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it's coming. And here's what you need to understand. Now here's the spiritual application. Are you stocking up on the Word of God? Here, let me put it another way. 1 year from today, are you going to be more fruitful than you were a year ago? What's the sluggard thinking? Verse 10. Get a little sleep. Well, if I could just get a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And I get up early a couple times a week to go and torture myself by working out. And there's too many times I wake up and I go, okay, just this one time. Now, this is a true story. About 6 months ago, man, I turned that alarm off. It had been a couple of hard days and things had been going on. And I was maxed out to the, and I turned that alarm off. And my wife said, what are you doing? I said, well, I was thinking about not going to work out. What? That's not the Jeff Abels I know. Okay, I'm getting that. Did that happen? That's why you need a woman. If you ever think about not doing what you should be, she'll be there and go, hey, that's not you. You know what she was saying? Don't disappoint me. Okay, babe, I won't. I'm up. You know, I don't believe the danger sometimes that we have in our life is, are we going to become a criminal? I think what we need to be more worried about is, are we going to become a respectable, commonplace, mediocre Christian? That scares me more than anything else. Because some people just settle for a little instead of doing what's right. We're not told what to do with a sluggard. Do you realize that? Nowhere in this text, here, chapter, nowhere else, when it talks about a little flock, it doesn't tell us what are we going to do with it. Because a lot of times the Lord says, okay, this is what it looks like, now do this. No, the idea is this, don't be one. That's the whole idea. If you've allowed in your life the path of the least resistant, or whatever you can get by with, and you've become so undisciplined in your ways and it makes you lazy, the Scripture would call you to repentance. And here's what the Scripture would say. Don't be a sluggard. And so, we got to see laziness as slothfulness and idleness as what they really are. And here's what it is. It's sin. Just like the preacher preached on Sunday night. Great message Brother West preached about discouragement. See, we're not to the place where we like to call discouragement sin, but yet it is. We're saved by the grace of God. It doesn't mean things are not going to come into our life, but we can't be discouraged if we believe that God is in control. Oh, I believe God's in control, yet something comes in our life and we get discouraged. Same thing with laziness. We cannot afford to be lazy. And if we are, it's a sin. And we need to repent. Let's stand tonight. I know preachers that are lazy. I know missionaries that are lazy. I don't want to be a lazy preacher. And missionaries shouldn't want to be lazy. We must understand that it is sin. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to be the people that we're supposed to. I don't know if you understand this or not, but I hope you do. People are watching us. They'll know whether you're a good worker on the job or not. Absolutely. So, Father, would you help us to be the diligent? Help us to be like the ant, not like the sluggard of chapter 26, verse 13 through 16, but help us to be like the ant in Proverbs 6. Inner motivation, hard work, looking to the future, working now for the future. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 481, Brother John Mark.